Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, I can't see you. I can't. Oh, I have everybody's video off, but. All right. This is the Blind Podcast. All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 66. We're back. It was a Thanksgiving weekend. How'd you guys do? I want to hear about the different rubs, the Williams Sonoma. I mean, like, how'd we do?
Oh, those rubs. I went straight Williams Sonoma. It was a great success. It was. I tell you, it was funny. I bought a fresh turkey. Went out of my way to make sure it was a fresh turkey.
Where did you get it? What kind of turkey was it?
Did they tell you like we just killed it? Like an
hour
ago?
We had turkey problems this year because no one wants to listen to me.
Why'd you have turkey problems? Give me your problems for us.
Because they didn't brine it. Which is stupid. I told them every year I tell them you got to brine it, and they didn't do it.
How come you're not in charge of the turkey, Paul? Because like, I think you're clearly the most educated culinary
I watched the Bon Appetit series, an hour-long video on how to cook the best turkey. No, yeah. I've watched it twice. No one ever...
they just ignored you.
Yeah, they don't listen.
Who cooked it, your mother?
They both did.
Ugh. Yeah, so they could blame each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's the whole thing, like... Well, we got that turkey last year, but it didn't look good this year. We didn't like the color. I go, what do you mean you didn't like the color? It's like, oh, it looked dark. I'm like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? Yeah. And then it's like they got the Jindal. Or no, they didn't get a Jindal, but they were like, that one didn't look good, but that one's supposed to be like a better turkey. Like it's like free range or something. I don't know. They went to Stu Leonard's.
It's funny. I was wondering about that myself because... You know, I always just thought a turkey was a turkey, you know.
No, those butterball pieces of shit.
Yeah, like you go up to, you know, like Jimmy's got like all these different like chickens and stuff like that. But I go to a local butcher, Dom's Sausage, thank you.
Oh, I've heard you mention that.
Local Malden place. Yeah, great little place. And they get fresh turkeys that they're somewhat local. I don't know like how small of a... farm or wherever they come from, but you just give them the size you want and they get them, and I've had good luck with them, and they come fresh. And it was funny, I used to think the brine thing was a bunch of bullshit. Like my brother used to like make his brine and stuff like that, but I get it from Williams Sonoma, and I tell you, it's unbelievable. It's so strong smelling and everything, and you can legit taste it on the turkey when you cook it. But I brine it, and I get a big turkey because I love it. I get like a 24, 25-pound turkey, and I froze just about half of it. Tonight we're having turkey sandwiches, so today's Monday. It's the last day you can eat it. We're having turkey sandwiches tonight, and then the rest of it gets frozen. And that last year was the first time I ever froze turkey, and we made like sandwiches with it. It was fine, you know, 3 months later. But the brine is so good, but I put it in a clean food grade bucket.
What is brine? Go back one step further.
You can either do a dry brine or a wet brine.
It's a treatment.
It basically...
Like a marinade?
Or kind of.
It's kind of like a marinade, but I think technically like some people used to do it, and it was almost like I don't know if it's like acidic or whatever, and it does something to the meat, you know, but it's kind of like a marinade.
A little tenderizing, a little juicening.
It's like every herb, it's basically like potpourri for the bird. You basically get like a huge jar of potpourri, you boil it to soften everything up, and you mix it, and I get a food grade, you know, bucket, 5 gallon bucket, and I put it in there. And luckily, like every time I've done it, it's been cold enough to keep it outside. So, but this time it got too cold. I get up like 5 in the morning.
Ice in your brine?
Yeah, yeah. I says, if this friggin' turkey's frozen, I says, I'm going backwards. I'm the only asshole that buys a fresh turkey and freezes it. You know, but it was fine. But it was just funny. I have the thermometer for the barbecue. It's got the two temperature probes. Then I get the other probe. It's got two probes, but I only used one. But I had three thermometers in this thing going. I had like one in each thigh and one in the like in the cavity in the stuffing. And
oh, so you stuff the bird.
Oh, you got to stuff the bird. You got to stuff it.
You know, us, have with, to stuff with it. The germs. You
oh
know,
God,
yeah, that was yeah. that was a big debate years ago. They read the article about the salmonella.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's
it
fine.
Doesn't.
You gotta die from something. But do you know the difference between stuffing and dressing?
No.
On a bird. So dressing is if you don't stuff it in the bird. So if you take stuffing, that's what I was told. And if you take stuffing and you cook it outside the bird, it's called dressing.
Well,
if
I
it's
still
inside
call
the bird,
it
stuffing. It's
stuffing.
Me too. But I think if it's outside the bird, ugh, it just it doesn't soak up all that grease.
Well, no, you throw them.
You know?
You make a gravy with all the juice, and you pour the
yeah,
gravy over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I stuffed it, but the thermometer and the stuffing, like, it was supposed to cook like 6.5 hours, and like 3 hours into it, it was almost up to temperature. So I was like, "Oh shit!"
Oh, shit.
Like this thing, what's going on? But it like just stopped right there, and it took forever for it to get up to like 160.
Huh.
But I took it out, and I thought it was like a little undercooked. I'm like, "Oh shit!" Like because I always feel
poppers
you.
Go off at like 180.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And you got
yeah.
a dry
those,
bird.
Yeah, you can't trust those. But that's what was funny. So the popper goes off, and I'm like, "Oh shit!" Like this thing, you know. Is it done? So I took it out, and I was like, you know what? Let me give it a little bit more time. All the juices were clear coming out of it. And I put it in there. I let it sit for about a half hour, 40 minutes when it came out. And I tell you, it was perfect. It was so juicy. It was delicious. You could. It was like somebody took it and put salt on it. Like, it was a little bit salty, like you could taste from the brine. It was unbelievable. I was shocked how good it was.
Well,
it was just,
we didn't have that experience because...
Yeah, sorry.
Do your kids appreciate this? Are your kids like, wow, Dad, you cooked a great turkey?
Yeah.
Or do they just,
yeah.
like, eat it
yeah.
and, like, walk
no,
away?
They go nuts over it. They love it. I make a good stuffing. You know, I use all the giblets or giblets or whatever you want to call them. All the little body parts go in there. Oh, yeah.
Go in what?
The stuffing? Yeah. 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 Mm. The liver goes in there. The liver gives it a lot of flavor. Yeah. Yeah. It gets ground up, so you can't pick it out. You got to, if you're eating it at your end. I also put, like, I cook the neck. Take out the neck meat's delicious.
What are you like, Native American? You use every part of your
yeah,
kill?
Yeah, yeah. I take the eyeballs.
Did you take them and plant them in the ground to fertilize your crops?
No,
or some
no,
shit?
No. I cook them all down.
Make a headdress out of the feathers.
I cook it and make.
Yeah, he's using the hide.
Yeah. That's what do you think I'm wearing these slippers?
Oh my god!
I made these slippers out of it.
His pillows are stuffed with
this,
the feathers.
This back scratch is made out of one of the claws. It's great. But no, you take the neck and all the innards and you boil them down and you get that and use that for your broth to make your stuffing. And I put sausage in the stuffing as well. Good sausage.
Wow, you go hard for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the stuffing's unbelievable.
I'd like just, to try
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Maybe
next year
you should have Derek cater your parents for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently it
yeah,
was
no,
next year I'm done. I'm not sitting, you know, sitting by on the sidelines. I'm taking over because we had a tough bird this year because we didn't brine it. Now, I watched the Bon Appetit video with Brad, who I know you're a big fan of, Derek.
Oh yeah. Did you get his autograph?
And the other guy, Andy. No, he doesn't give those.
Bad
and
luck.
They went through every option, three different birds, a butterball. This is just a food podcast, but I don't really care. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They did a shitty
podcast.
We should start a prequel or whatever, another one. But
for the pre-show.
Yeah, but they did a butterball, like gross, cheap bird. Then they did like a free range, but still like a bird that's not like a wild turkey, and then they did like the heritage breed. It still had feathers in it. They didn't like that one, and they didn't like the cheap, shitty one. They liked the middle grade, you know, free range, but still.
Yeah,
the thing
can't be like,
you know,
totally free range. It's
not,
like too
not
tough,
gamey. Yeah, it's gamey and tough. So,
do you know what makes the meat dark on duck meat?
No,
that's the parts of the bird that move.
Oh, I have heard that.
Yeah, yeah. So like
I thought
wild
you meant,
one,
like,
it's like a wild one. That's why they're like. They taste so different. And
all of it's moving.
Yeah, they're just captive.
They're not
so
squeezed into
a
cage.
Yeah, shh. We don't talk about that.
But anyway.
Mine was living on a grade five. He had all kinds of room to move and everything, so he was good.
Anyway, they went through different brines, and they went through frying or smoking or cooking in the oven. And it's interesting. They chose the dry brine because it gave it a nice color, they said. It was a better crisp, which I could see, but I'd like to try the wet brine, too. Maybe we got to do two next year, two smaller turkeys.
Well, that's what we used to do. I used to have a lot of people over for Thanksgiving, about 20 people. And my brother would bring a turkey, and he would deep fry it.
That's
and
nice.
It's delicious, but
I really enjoy watching the videos of the people burning
their houses God,
down.
Is that the best? I could watch that all day long. But the problem is you can't stuff it, and I like it stuffed. But a lot of people like the smoked, and I don't think I would enjoy that.
I don't think I'd like that.
Yeah, no. It's just
smoked turkey? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No.
We almost burnt our kitchen down because we decided to make french fries one day with no thermometer in the oil. I don't know why we thought that was a good idea. We're like, oh, let's just give it a shot. We could probably eyeball it. Or you know what we did? We said we were going to throw one french fry in to see if it sizzled. Oh, and then that would determine the temperature. Which, of course, when you throw one in, you don't get much of a sizzle. But when you throw 100 in, it overflows all over the stove. Almost goes into the flame. Because the oil must have been 450 degrees instead of 350. Yeah. And my friend was there, and he just literally, reached in to where the oil was splattering and just turned it off. We're like, are you crazy? You almost got burned.
Did you see the video recently? It was on TikTok, whatever. The guy, he had the pan on fire and he put it in the kitchen sink.
And put the water on it?
Yeah, and it blew up. It's so bad.
Yeah, it smokes out his whole kitchen. He's trying to clean smoke off his cabinets.
Yeah. It's all white kitchen. It's is that real?
Destroyed.
Yeah. The guy with the tank there that he was trying to cut.
With the acetylene torch?
Yeah. Not too bright. Some people are stupid.
People are stupid. It's natural selection. Yeah. Paul, speaking of explosions, I was cutting something on my plasma table yesterday. And have you ever had this where, so I was cutting and I guess a piece of slag jumped up and hit the tip. And it arced out crazy and sparked. It almost shorted. And it blew my electrode out and blew the nose cone off my fucking torch.
That happened to me once.
It scared the shit out of me. Luke Smith was with me, and it he didn't even have safety glasses on. And next thing you know, he's getting showered in the face with sparks. I was like,
that
happened
to me once, and it was the whole ohmic. You know, you have a similar thing where the ohmic sensor plugs into that little black shield that the tip connects to.
Yep.
Yeah, that whole little metal. Thin metal piece that wraps around that sensor that touches the tip was melted and sparks shot everywhere. It did short out almost. But then I've had times where for whatever reason it won't pierce properly and it just shoots the metal sparks down into the metal and then it shoots them all over and it's raining sparks. But that's
just when it doesn't get
cut.
A pierce.
Yeah. Yeah, but this I've only happened once when it shorted out like that and it melted the whole tip and I had to get a new one.
Yeah, it didn't ruin the tip. My 80 amp consumable got cooked, my electrode got cooked, and the shielding cap got cooked. And they were all my only 80 amp shielding cap, I had a bunch of 80 amp consumables, but no 80 amp shielding cap, so I couldn't use them. Mm. And I had a bunch of electrodes, but no shielding cap, so I couldn't use any 80 amp. So I wound up having to cut the quarter inch plate that we had to cut with 40 amp consumables at 60 amps on the machine, which still works, but it just burns out the consumables faster, you know. But
my 45 amp consumables never last.
They burn out
for whatever reason. They burn out in 2 seconds. Yeah. I don't understand. I use 105 for. I cut a lot of thicker stuff, quarter inch and up. I'm almost never cutting thin sheet metal, so I just keep the 105 tips in there, and they last a long time.
Yeah, I only. Why
can't you use them with thinner stuff?
I don't know. It just doesn't have a preset for it.
I mean, like, in my machine, you can. It just, they just say it doesn't last as long. If you're using thin stuff, though, you really want to use, like, if you're using, like, 16-gauge or thinner, they make precision-cut consumables, which I don't know if you've ever tried, Paul, but they definitely make a difference. Yeah, I have them on my machine.
So it's just not as clean a cut?
Yeah, exactly.
My,
you also don't
want to
put that much heat into the material. You know, like, if you're cutting 12, if you're cutting 14-gauge or 18-gauge sheet metal, you don't want to put 100 amps into it. You want to put, like, 40 amps or less so that you don't warp the shit out of it, you know?
See, I don't change it like that, like, amperage-wise. I'm not sure if my machine's always putting out the same amperage and it just moves 10 times faster. Because, like, when I cut thin shit, it moves so fast. And then when I cut, like, three-quarter, it's, like, 33 inches a minute. Or so. It's, like, it's slow. But
I think I cut, like, 20 inches a minute on mine.
I don't know. I don't know.
I always love when everybody gives that like, thing, like, with the laser. It's like, is it millimeters a second? Is it millimeters a minute? Is it inches a second? I cannot figure it out. It's like, it's, like, 30 and 30. 330. I don't know. I don't know what they are, but that's what I said it at.
Yeah.
But inches just per does minute. Its thing. Yeah. It's just something per minute. Per
but
second,
yeah, I,
per
I blew a consumable out yesterday. That was no fun.
That's too bad. It. Sorry to hear that.
I was making stuff. I wasn't cooking.
Uh-huh.
I will say, though, my friend Chelsea, who is opening the bakery that I've talked about, she stopped by my shop yesterday with two fresh handmade bagels with cream cheese. Like, she makes her own bagels, everything bagels. Uh-huh. And that they're everything bagel. Like, you can't even see the bagel underneath the seasoning because she's got so much, like, you know, of the everything on it. You know, whatever the fuck is on an everything bagel, the salt.
Everything
and,
is.
Sesame seeds and poppy seeds. And they were so, so good. I cannot wait for her restaurant to open. Unfortunately, that means
nice
I have
bagel.
A bunch of I have a bunch of projects to do for her restaurant prior to it opening. So as it gets closer to opening, I get more stressed out about actually getting the work done. But it's going to be awesome. I can't wait, and we'll have to go the next time you guys are visiting.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I just had a French toast bagel this morning. My kids got it yesterday from Bagel World. It is
Bagel World.
This place, yeah, it's funny. It's like a, it's like big like a restaurant, but it's just a breakfast and lunch place, and they, you know, obviously sell bagels, but they always, you know, like they put a Dunkin' Donuts next to every like coffee shop and puts them out of business. Every one of these they put a Dunkin' Donuts near doesn't affect their business.
Dunkin' Donuts bagels taste like poison.
But it's like they but there's a line out the door every day at this place. Every one of the it's like a chain, but just like local. Maybe there's like 10 of them. I don't know how many there are, but it's like it just always amazes me. It just they're not fazed by any Starbucks, nothing. They just keep doing their bagels and everybody loves them.
That's like the Country Cow.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, we went to that.
Dude, I was in there Saturday at, like, 10 o'clock, which is a big mistake. You couldn't even move in the place, and people were ordering 10, 12, 15 bacon, egg, and cheeses. They were, like, cutting up cardboard boxes, stuffing bacon, egg, and cheeses in there. They must make so much money. It's all cash. They probably have two registers. I bet one register doesn't get reported. Yeah. One of those situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one of the registers takes credit cards. Well, you don't do any credit cards.
No,
place
it's
by
cash
me, they
only
run the credit cards on one register. And I always laugh. I'm like, who the fuck do you think you're tricking with this?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
But I'm heartbroken because across the street, Bagel King, where they get the bagels from, they sold it. It's still Bagel King, but they ruined the bagels.
Oh, yeah, that's no
they're
good.
No, they're no longer the same. And it's my favorite. And I love bagels. And the salt bagel, which is my favorite, they started using, they used to have like, you know, like the Malden salt, like those, that nice flaky salt. That's what they would use. I don't know if it was that.
Oh,
brand,
I know what you're talking
was,
about. Yep. It's different than like
it's different.
Granular salt.
Now they're using that pretzel salt, those little balls, and it's way too salty and it ruined the entire bagel. I'm so disappointed. And then also, you know what else is ruined? Sally's is ruined. You know how I was saying how new people bought it, like investors?
Yeah.
They put one in Stanford. It was terrible.
Really?
Which one is Sally's? I don't think we went there.
That was the one that's like the best. At one point, it was the best pizza. Now it's gone. So my local establishments are getting
ruined.
It's time to move, dude.
There's a place where I grew up, a pizza place, and it was like the father, the son, and the cousins like ran it. From when I was a kid, they were like a little bit older than me, and then when I was an adult, they were all adults still working in there. And I go in there, and there's all these people like Middle Eastern and stuff, and I'm like, who the hell are all these people? I was like, is Nicky still here and stuff? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I says, he's still on the business? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. He's just on vacation. I'm like, fucking 40 fucking years. This kid, I never take a vacation. I'm like, okay, I get the pizza. It tasted like shit. I'm like, oh, yeah. I think Nick finally cashed out, you know?
Yeah, but he's in Costa Rica or something.
Yeah. Yeah, counting his money.
He's in the Dominican Republic with me, buying one of my houses.
Yeah,
buying one of my $10 million houses in the Dominican Republic.
I hate when that happens. So somebody on here got a new tool this week.
Who, me?
I know I did, but I think you did, Chris, didn't you?
I got a couple of tools this week.
I saw you did a little Black Friday shopping.
I did a little. Yeah. I didn't really. That was really just a. That was really just me and those guys just getting together for an excuse to get together. Yeah. We had
a light load.
Yeah, we haven't got. I didn't. I didn't really get anything like. I don't know. I bought a couple like drill bits and whatever, but I got lately. I just been going hard on Amazon, and I got a fiber laser, I unfortunately cannot get to connect to my computer because this new fucking M1 Mac that I bought, my $4,000 Frisbee. So I've always ran Parallels on my computer. Yeah. So yeah. Parallels, for anyone that doesn't know, runs like a virtual operating system. Basically, it's like a virtual version of Windows running on your computer. But because these new Apple computers have their own computer chip, their own chip, and it's not Intel-based anymore, there's a whole new Windows, and it's not. And now Windows is like holding out, and it's not the same, and blah blah blah. So I'm fucked. I got no way to put. Like, I have Windows 11. I have a beta version of Windows 11 on this computer. It is, like, so asinine. I can't get the drivers for this fiber laser that I just got. And I paid some amount of money for this fiber laser. So it cost me... this thing didn't just show up, and I don't, you know, whether it works or not, like, you know, I don't care. Like, I need this thing to work. I want it to work because I want to use it, and I'm just... It's my own machine's fault. So now I have to decide whether or not I try to resurrect one of my old Macs or that I go out and buy a fucking PC, which I literally would rather kill myself than do.
I've been saying to myself, I can't wait till he has to buy a PC. He's going to be so pissed.
I'm furious. I love it. I'll
be honest with you. If you have to buy a PC, I got that... Surface. And it's not one of those ones that comes apart. It looks just like a Mac, and I don't know. I think it was like around $1,000. Yeah. I didn't pay $1,000 for it, but I tell you, I love that computer. I love it. I use that more than I use my Mac because I love it. It has a touch screen, which I love, but it can be dangerous with on a machine because like you go to wipe the screen and all of a sudden the gantry moves.
Yeah, but, I got one of those in my shop. Too. Yeah, I got a touchscreen computer
but
in my shop.
I tell you, I love it. Smash. I think it's like so well made. It has facial recognition, which I love. You open the computer and it comes right on. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I haven't had, you know, I got it back in April and I haven't had one issue with it. It's fast. It works unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, it sucks having to have a PC, but if you have to have one, I'm telling you, I love it. I really do. It's well made. I think it's better looking than the Mac. It's smaller than it, like thinner than it. It's nice.
I started looking at them today because I'm like, well, it's Cyber Monday. Like, if I'm going to buy a computer, should I just fucking order one today? But then
don't
it's like
a shit one thinking I'm only going to use it for this because that's not how it works.
I know. It's just the whole situation has just got me unhappy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, the thing is like, you know, thousands of people are using these new silicon Macs. So, like, you know, there has to be a real version of Windows for it. And then I was, like, reading an article about it today that there's, like, this inside deal with Microsoft and another company and whatever. So I don't know. Like, I'm hoping that I'm really just in, like, a holding pattern where I could use one of my older Macs and put Parallels on it, because it would be cheaper for me to do that than for me to buy a machine, you know. But I don't know. It's upsetting because I got this thing all set up and I can't wait to use it, and I can't get it to hook up to my computer. So
you were having problems with your iPhone the other day too, right?
Yeah, my iPhone sucks. My new Mac sucks.
You got all Apple's the new most expensive shit, and they're
Apple
they're letting
has
you
completely
down.
Let me down, dude. They've let me down so hard. Neither of you have the 13?
No, I have the one from a year ago. I went to get it, and they were sold out.
So, so the 13 has a macro camera, and the macro camera.
What does it have? Four now?
No, it has three cameras still, but one of them has like a macro in it. So it automatically switches to macro when you get close to something.
Yeah.
And it is so bad because when it switches to macro, it changes the way that it interprets the light, and the photos get really grainy. And they're in the beta version of iOS, you can toggle it on and off with a switch, but that hasn't been like officially released yet. So I don't have the option to turn this fucking thing off. So every time I like want to take a picture of something, it is like constantly switching back and forth between the macro and the regular camera, and the photo quality sucks because it's trying to do something that I'm not asking for it to do. And it's been super frustrating. Like, I've taken photos of stuff kind of in a hurry and then gone back to look at them, and the quality is so bad because it's on the wrong camera. So that's great. So I'm paying like some amount of money every month for the camera for the phone that sucks. And then I got the computer that the SD card slot still doesn't work on the brand new M1 Mac. It's great. Everything is awesome here. But like if you guys happen to notice, I finished my leaf blower, which is awesome. So that's a positive. I was restoring a leaf blower. It came out great.
I saw that.
So there's that. I got that.
How's
going.
How's the forklift working?
I haven't had to need it, but I've been watching a lot of videos on rebuilding that vaporizer, which is the thing that was icing up. So I just need to do it. It's been really cold here. You know, it's like, I feel like the days that I've been able to work, it's been cold. And then this coming Saturday, Mac and I are going up state because we got to get the windows out of the house because we're demoing the house in probably 2 weeks. Nice. But the excavator wants the glass out because he's like, when you got the windows in, it just makes it harder for him to work because if he has to drive a truck up there and there's big chunks of glass, you know. So he asked me if I would pull out the windows before he does the excavating. So I feel like this Saturday is probably my last shot before it gets really cold. And the weather forecast for right now, it already says it's going to be a high of like 35 up there on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Macklin.
It gets cold up there quick.
That's He's looking happens. At some land down the street from me.
Oh, yeah?
Where are you sleeping up there? Do you have a camp?
We're just going for the day.
Oh, just for the day?
Yeah, we're just going for the day.
Day tripping,
The high on Saturday up there is fucking 32.
Perfect.
Yeah, like, Connecticut is the line where winters start to get brutal.
Yeah.
Because, like, Boston, upstate New York, it's so... you go outside and it's like you feel it in your bones. Like, Connecticut, you get some bad winter. Like, you get some cold days, but it's always tolerable. But then when I go up to Jimmy's or, like, I go to Boston in the wintertime, it's the next level of cold.
Yeah.
And it's windy. It's like...
What's amazing in Boston is the weather. If you look at a map of Massachusetts, you have Route, like, 128 that's shaped like a C, like, around Boston. And then 495 is, like, another band. And then there's, like, Worcester and Springfield. Like, the weather literally changes on those lines. Like,
really?
I don't know if those highways were built, like, on, like, high areas or low areas.
Elevations. Yeah.
Yeah, but the weather literally, like, they literally give you the traffic report. Inside 128, you know, rain and sleet. Outside 128, like, snow. Outside 495. It's always that way.
Wow.
It's the most amazing thing. And I don't know if it's that way or if that's just the way, you know, it goes. I don't know. Because it is, like, you know, Boston's so close. That's another thing. It's so close to the ocean. It's strange. Like, we, at the Pizza Parlor, we have a restaurant, like, right on the ocean. And it's funny, like, this time of year, you can go down there.
Got ocean views.
Yeah. And it'll be, like, freezing cold out, but the ocean's still warm. So if the wind's coming off the ocean, it's warm out there, but it'll be freezing inland. And then it's opposite. It'll be, can be warm inland, and then when it's the water's cold, if the water air comes off it, it's, you know, freezing cold, even though it's warm out, you know. But it's funny how the ocean will change the temperature too, you know.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah, but yeah, I mean,
you'll be cold, Chris.
It's been cold here.
They already had snow out there.
Up there.
Way. Yeah, my brother got snow out in Western Mass last weekend.
Yeah, I've been watching I have my cameras up there. So I was looking today, there was a deer walking around, so I get, you know, like the little alert. And there wasn't snow. There's a little bit of snow on the ground, but it's not, like, buried yet. But, again, like, I'm worried that if I wait any longer, like, he wants to do this demo, like, soon. And I don't want to hold him up because I don't want him to, I don't know if he plows. I don't know what he's doing this winter. So I don't want to lose him. So, like, you know, the difference is, like, I'm looking at the weather right now.
Contract says he can be there.
Right? And, like, I'm looking at the weather right now. So, like, this weekend the high is 32. Next weekend the high is 38. So I'm like, all right, well, is the 6 degrees really going to make a difference where I wait a week and maybe I miss him, you know? I mean, and, you know,
just
obviously, if Macklin decides that he doesn't want to come, then that's up to him. So,
you'll be fine. Both tough boys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like we haven't worked outside in the winter before, but the goal is to come.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The windows out of that building. And the other thing I really want to do is I want to go through the floor in the bathroom and find the water tank, because I don't know where that, I want to try to locate some amount of the water lines before he gets there, so he doesn't fuck the well casing up, you know. I'm worried that when he's digging, if he has no idea where the well casing goes underground, where the water line goes underground, if he rips it, he could mess up the well casing. So I don't know. Figure it out as we go, but that's the plan.
Nice.
I'm excited though. I can't wait to
get
it down.
What are the new tools you get?
What are new tools that I get? I don't know. I got a new 3D printer that's currently running in the background right now that I absolutely love. It works so good.
It's funny. I was just talking about getting a 3D printer with somebody yesterday. What brand did you get?
I got this company called Mingda, M-I-N-G-D-A. They sent one that does, like, auto leveling. Like, auto bed leveling, which, like, Paul, I don't know if you've done a lot of 3D printing, but that's, like, the scourge of the 3D printing world.
Not much.
Is all leveling the bed. So this one
on that first pass where it, like, squeezes it against it, or it's, like, too high and it doesn't stick or something.
Yep.
I remember all that shit. I had one for 6 months. I'm like, this is stupid. I got rid of it. I'm like, I'm spraying hairspray.
Yeah.
You know, double or blue tape.
Yep, or clear mat or packing tape you people use.
I made three pencil holders, and I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah, I really like having one because, like, I like to, you know, if I'm drawing shit on SketchUp or Infusion, it's like I can just 3D print it just to see how it feels in my hand. You know, like, that's how I kind of did, like, the marking knife when I first designed it the first time. But if you have a 3D printer that's not reliable, like, you want to smash the fucking thing. So this one has been good, and since I work from home now every day, I can like have it running in the background during the day, and so I've got a couple little projects I'm going to do with it, and so far so good.
I'm trying to think of what else I got. That's why I always back out. I'm just like, every time I go to get one, I'm like, what do I really need that's plastic?
Yeah, I know.
I never use plastic.
Yeah, so it's like,
I can see what you're talking about, Chris. Like,
yeah, but do you guys follow? I mean, you guys follow the Infinite Craftsman? Like he's like making products, and he's like, but I mean, you know, I don't. The thing is, when you do if you use Cura, if you tell it how much you're paying for the roll of filament, it'll tell you how much it costs to print a certain thing. So, like, if you're printing something that you can sell for, like, $10 and it's costing you $1.25, then I guess, you know, technically you're making money, right? But I the way, I mean, I guess, like, you know, it takes 5 hours of printing, you know,
what's really the benefit?
Like, I'm printing, like, a phone holder to put on my desk so that when I'm, like, on when I'm working at my desk, I can have my phone standing up and still be plugged in. And it's costing $1.66 to print, $1.66 in filament, but it's taking 5 hours and 30 minutes to go. So
it's
like,
so long. Like, it makes sense, like the stuff you're trying to do, though. Like, prototyping things or, you know, making models of products you're trying to, like, for me in my shop,
There's nothing for me to do.
But they are cool.
Like I wanted to like do like a couple like things so I could like press it into leather and make like a couple mold.
That's cool.
Things.
Tyler did that, right?
I got like I got so many other things I gotta do before.
Oh yeah, you
that.
Showed him how to
like,
do it. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's like I just don't have time for that bullshit. You know.
Well, the only reason I do have time for it is because I'm sitting here at my desk all day anyway. So, like, I can just put a print on it. That's the thing is, like, the other 3D printer I had was at the shop. Now that this one is at home, like, I never felt comfortable letting it run all night at the shop. Because I was always like, well, what if, like, one of the fans just, like, stops working and it just fucking melts? You know, like, and the thing just starts a fire and burns down my shop. So, at least this one being in the house, I'll die with it.
Yeah, that's a good way to look
at
it.
And that's the only way to go. I want to die by 3D printer.
But, if you die from that, can I have your other 3D printer?
Yes, you can.
Because I need some really parts off that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny. Go ahead.
No, go. You go.
Well, I was talking to a buddy of mine last night. It's not going to happen, but I was considering buying a garage. And it's such a strange situation. This kid, it was two dead-end streets that kind of... like hooked around but never met, like, you know, so like maybe a U with the middle of the U missing. And you know, 50 years ago they bought the town, took the house over and tore it down and connected the street together. They tore the house down, but they never tore down the garage. It was a standalone two-car garage. So the family there was like a lot there at the time. They built a house there. And then they kept that garage. Well, they sold it. They sold the house and their garage, and then they subdivided it and sold this garage. And my buddy bought it like 20 years ago. And, you know, at the time, it was like he paid like $35,000 for it. It's just a two-car garage. It looks like it's a big piece of land, but he's on the inside of the U, so it's shaped like a piece of pie. You know what I mean? So it's got like, you know, 50 feet of frontage, but then it comes to a point. So he doesn't have... like a lot of space, like you
how
can't
many
build
acres?
A house
is
on
like a quarter of an acre.
Yeah,
not
maybe
even?
Like no, probably like half acre or something like that. I forget.
It doesn't matter because the building's already there.
Yeah.
It's not like
so,
you're trying to put a building.
Yeah.
On it.
So he was telling me a story last night. He had two old cars in it, which one might be coming up for sale as 68 or 69 Camaro.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
He said. That was no. That's a different garage. This is a different one.
Oh, it was
one.
A
yes,
Bel Air.
Yeah.
You
yes,
showed.
Yes. This is a different garage. But I was thinking of buying it. But I'm like thinking like, what's the gain? Like, do I want to have a shop that's, you know, a half hour? You know, it's like 20 minutes from my house, and you know, then like, what if I buy something in New Hampshire? But anyways, he's telling me a story. He used to go up there, work on his cars. He had a little fridge, and his electric bill would be $13 a month. It was a $7 processing fee, and his bill was $6, right? So he had an electric heater, and he put it on and he forgot it. So he gets his electric bill, and he didn't, you know, he doesn't check the bill every month. He ends up being an idiot, calls the electric company, and they thought there was an error. So the next month, he wasn't up there for 2 months. This thing didn't have a thermostat, nothing. Like, it wasn't, it just ran for 2 months straight. Right?
Oh my God.
So he gets a bill for, it was like a couple weeks of the month. It was $400. So they just nixed the bill because they said for 10 years, it's been like $13. There must have been a glitch reading it. So they cancel the bill. So then he gets the next month, he gets a bill for the $400 plus the he gets $800 bill. So he calls them and tells them, you know, like, what the hell's going on here? They're like, oh, is there something? He goes, yeah, I had an electric heater. I didn't realize. He figured if I was honest with them, they'd forgive it. They said, no. Well, then, listen to this. So then they tacked the $400 on it because now they know it's not a glitch,
the
right?
The first one was legit.
The first one, right?
Going to be honest with them, they're going to feel bad for him because he's just stupid.
I know. That's what I said to him. So then he says to them, he goes, well, you guys should forgive the $800 and I pay the $400 because if you sent me a $400 bill, I would have known something was wrong and I would have went to the house. They go, it doesn't work that way. It went through the meter. You pay it. So he just, you know, he had to pay a $1,200 bill for it. But he got rid of the cars. He has with the Camaros. He has a Camaro and a Cougar there. They're both in the shop getting some serious work done. They've been in there for like a year. And he goes, he said to me first, he goes, do you want to buy it for storage or do you want to buy it for a shop? And the only issue is that he can't get a comp on it. And everybody's like, you know, just do whatever the houses have done. And the houses have pretty much tripled in price, you know, so he's thinking it's going to be about $100,000. And I'm like, you know, do I want to spend $100,000 on a two car garage on a lot of land I can't build anything on? I mean, it would be kind of
cool.
You
definitely
but
can't build a house there.
No.
Why? Because it's too small, or just
only thing they ever let you do is knock it down.
Small. Are you saying it's a half an acre?
No, I don't know what size it is. It's too small. The shape of it.
It's got to be like an eighth of an acre.
No, but the problem is it's not even the size that's the issue. It's the setbacks. Because the way it's shaped, you can't, like, if you're set back, it's like three-sided. So if you're set back from the road, you're too close to the property lines.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's just that way, it's nothing. This kid has like 10 houses, so if he could put a house on it, he would have done it. And that's what people like, can't you tear it down, put a house that size? Yeah. And they're like, no, you can't. You know, it's just grandfathered in. So, but it's just funny. He just, you know, just when you said, you know, the thing running all night, you know, made me think of that. You know, he was telling me that story last night. But like I said, I don't think I'm going to do anything with it because it's not that big. It's going to be going from a small shop to a small shop. And, you know, I want to just move to just get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
But I got a new tool. I got my Rotex. My Rotex Sander.
Didn't
my
you Festool have that Rotex already? Sander.
No, I had the ETS 125. The Rotex is totally different. It's funny.
I have
like,
one of those.
Yeah, nice. It's funny. Like, I got the catalog, and that was probably like the worst thing I could have ever done. But it's like when you don't know about, and I'm not saying this because I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I know Keith is going to listen to this and laugh like I'm some Festool chump now, but it is true. Like, you don't realize like how their tools work, and then you read about it, like the features on them, just like the stupid shit. It's amazing how they work. You know, they really are amazing tools, and
they're better than everybody else.
Oh my God, it just, like, I didn't realize like they make a big deal about using their paper and everything like that. And like they have, you know, the vacuum for the holes, but like the hole in the middle, I never realized it was like it blows air out to keep the pads cool and stuff like that. And, you know, just like stupid things like that. But it, like, I was watching a couple of videos that guy, Sedge, and he was like comparing, like, in Rotex mode when it like spins, like, just the amount of material the thing moves, it removes. It's just crazy. You know, it just, it's a really, you know, powerful and versatile sander. You know, like Bourbon Moth, he uses it is like a belt sander and his finish sander. You know, he uses it for everything. So I think I have three sanders, Festool sanders. I think I'm going to sell one of them now because I don't need three. I definitely don't need three. You know, that's like the other thing. The ETS ones, there's like a 3 and a 5 on the back. Like they have different strokes for like the mm-hmm. orbital, you know, for like finishing and
Like I never realized that.
Yeah. So I bought that. I bought a ton of sandpaper up to 4,000 grit, and just the shit ain't cheap, but I spent a lot of money, but it's nice. It does the job so much better and it's so much easier. So it's nice. Did you see that video? Jonathan Katz-Moses put out on sanding.
They did it like a compare.
Yeah,
with the 3M paper.
It was a while ago.
Did you buy?
I just watched it today.
I bought that 3M paper from Amazon for this bed frame that I'm working on.
Because I didn't buy it because I have 13 boxes of sandpaper, either Festool or the what's it, Abranat or whatever it is, the mesh, and they're like 50 sheets in a box. So
I have a lot of that stuff too, but the way that you know, like basically what he did was he went to a robot factory that has one of those robot arms that you can program to do whatever you need it to do, and he ran sandpaper across the same type of material at the same pressure for the same amount of time, and he figured out which sandpaper removed the most material the fastest. Uh-huh. And
the cost per sheet,
and this 3M Cubitron sanding paper wound up being like the difference it was between its closest competitor
was not even close.
Like it's so much better than
four times.
Yeah, and if you buy it, it's like it's crazy because it has so little abrasive on it. But I guess the abrasive
is
so good.
That's so weird.
Yeah,
it's that was the weird part. It has half the abrasive, you know, but like that's the big thing with like the sanding. It's like cooling it and, you know, getting rid of the material that you get your sanding, you know. It's just you know, there's a lot to it. You know, I didn't realize that Keith makes a big deal about sanding, and I used to think it was really a lot of like overreaction, but after like really reading up on it and you know, watching stuff, it there is a lot to it, you know, and if you're not doing it right, you're doing it wrong, you know. So it's like it's a lot. So it was a good lesson, you know, with everything, you know, seeing all that stuff and, you know, brushing up on some videos. You know, you think it's just basic sanding, but there's a lot going on there. So.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes a difference if you're going to be doing, like, finish work, too. It's like, when I bought my Mirka sander, I got it from a boat. It was like a boat refinisher. And the reason he sold it to me, because he sold it, like, kind of cheap, was because he said he couldn't figure out a way to get it to not give him swirl marks on like a high gloss finish. And I was like, all right, well, I don't do that. So, you know, like on fiberglass, I won't have that problem. But, you know, there's so much to it, but I'm looking forward to trying out that stuff that Jonathan Katz-Moses was talking about.
Like one of the big things, like with the swirl marks, and like people laugh about it, but like those Festool vacuums, like that's why you can turn them down, like that if you have too much suction on the vacuum, it's gonna make swirl marks, it's gonna suck the sander down into the material and create swirl marks, you know. So it's just there's a lot to it, you know, and if you want, you know, perfect finishes, you have to, you know, you have to know what the hell you're doing.
You got to pay attention to that kind of stuff. Sounds like we might lose Pinto in a second.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on. I've tried every USB-C port in my computer, and I've changed the outlet I'm using, and my computer charger won't work. I think
it's
Apple's listening to us.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I'm watching the percentage tick down, and I've tried everything.
He's pulling an Andrew. That's what
this
Andrew
is ridiculous.
Does.
What
he just lets the battery disappears.
I do not want to do that because I'm afraid I'm going to lose the audio. Is it Chris?
All right.
If I drop off,
hold on. All right, I just stopped our recording and restarted it. So at least if we lose Paul after this point, we'll have
now I'm at 7.
This point, okay, he's going
this
down
sucks.
By the second.
What the hell?
Anyway, Paul, you usually have a good. Well, actually, you usually don't have shit in terms of.
No, I have
what
a good one, but it's probably the same one. It's probably the same one as yours.
What is it?
Whistling Diesel with the school bus.
Of course. It's Whistling Diesel.
I laughed
with the school bus
so hard.
I haven't watched it yet.
Derek, it's one of my favorites.
Is it?
Just, it's so ridiculous when he's driving. He has the safety vest on, and when he's driving down the road. First, he starts off by saying, he's like, I looked it up, and it says, you know, if you're driving a school bus and you're not actually a school bus driver, it's illegal to drive it on the road, like a yellow school bus, because, it's like driving a cop car, I guess. So he goes, but he, of course, he drives anyway, and he's going down the road, swerving left to right. The whole bus looks like it's going to tilt and flip over, and he almost drives it into, like, a ditch on the side of the road, and, like, the camera guy was, like, freaking out. Like, you could tell he's like, holy shit, we're about to crash this thing.
And die.
And then he just goes into a river, like a river on the side of the road, just drives the bus into a river, and then he's driving it through his property in circles, you know, jumping over shit. He puts a brick on the gas pedal and jumps it over like a hump, and then it just stopped, and he goes to do it again. He does it better this time for whatever reason. He jumps it over the hump, it goes flying through the air, and smashes into a tree, and the whole front of the bus just gets smashed.
Yeah, it's funny so when you see, like, his camera guys get, like, nervous. You know, it's like, it's just funny.
God.
Like, they think they're going to die, you know?
He's got, I noticed in his, that wasn't his most recent video, he's got another one where he, like, wrecks that truck. And I noticed that when he's driving the truck, he's wearing, like a motorcycle helmet now. Because I feel like somebody must have said to him, like, dude, you're making so much money. Like,
if you get,
like, a fucking spinal cord injury now, like, you're going to take what could be the best part of the rest of your life, and you're going to do, you're going to be in a wheelchair. You know, like, just be a little bit, just put a little bit of caution into it, and, like, don't break your neck, you know? Because, like, it's still hysterical. Like, it's still hysterical with him wearing a helmet as it is without. I mean, it was, I guess, a little bit funnier when he was just going totally wild, but you don't want to see the kid die either. You know?
No, he's
my favorite YouTuber. He can't die.
He's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, it is funny. It is funny.
So, my Derek, pick, what have you been watching?
Yeah. I tell you, my pick's going to be a downer. I hate to do this to people, but it's funny. I don't know why they kept recommending him, but I kept getting these videos called it's The Mechanic. And it's basically,
is that the guy with no
arms?
Like,
geez, I don't want to go down that low yet. But it's basically people, it's like, that make stuff. I don't know if it's like India or Pakistan, but they make these, like, the last one I just watched, they were making sprockets for motorcycles.
That one popped up on my feed, too.
This shop is like, you want to talk about, like, OSHA regulations. Like, these people, like, risking life and limb with machinery. And then it goes, they hand off each process. They're cutting, like, hundreds and hundreds of sprockets. And then they hand it to this kid who's on this huge lathe. I don't know what brand or whatever it is. The kid's going to be 9 years old. And it's like, he's just filthy, rotten, dirty. And it's really sad to watch. It's like, you know, for me, it's, like, interesting to see how they're made. But then you see it, and you're looking at the people that are using these machines. Like, this kid, like, the kid that was probably 12 years old got killed or something last week, so they got his 9-year-old brother doing it, you know?
Paying 4 cents a day.
Yeah, it's just, it's really sad to see. It, like I said, the processes are interesting. They do a lot of crazy stuff. There was this truck, an axle broke off it. And they're under there. They use all these crazy things to jack it up, and they literally pull this axle right on the side of the road, pull the axle out of the truck, and turn it on the lathe, and you know, pin it and fix it. And it's amazing to see what these people do with, like, next to nothing, you know. But it's just so unsafe, so unsanitary, and it's kind of sad, you know. So if you think you have a sucky job, watch this and you'll be grateful, even if you're flipping pizzas.
It's interesting because it's, you can look at it from both directions. So when I got my British motorcycle, that Royal Enfield, I was like super intimidated by getting that bike, and my friends who are all like Harley guys and like they work on like a lot of Yamahas and stuff and Hondas were like, yo, we don't know how to help you with that bike. So I started watching videos, and then you find these videos, because they're very, very popular in India, of guys, like, rebuilding those motors in the dirt on the side of the road.
Yep.
And that's when I was like, you know what? If these guys can put these
recasting
things back
the
together.
Aluminum pots.
Yeah, but like these guys are putting this shit back together on the side of the road with like no tools. Yeah. Like I can figure out how to fix this thing. You know, but
it's really amazing.
It's crazy, but yeah, that's a cool video. And it's funny because it popped up on my thing too. It's got like 6 million views, so I'm sure many
it's
people.
Pretty
have
interesting
seen it,
how they do it. It's just you know, it's just so amazing. You know,
have you ever watched the videos of the guys that those like back alley gun manufacturers in like South America where they'll make like they'll take like just plates of steel and they'll make like a revolver. You know, like a 9mm revolver, and it looks like, you know, like it's the shit that anyone has in their garage, but they just know the way to drill it and grind it, and they were willing to work on it for long enough to turn it into a gun.
It's amazing.
It's wild. But yeah, my pick of the week was going to be Whistling Diesel as well, so I don't know.
It's a
I'm sure
picker.
I have something else. Oh, you know what? I do have another one as Paul's thing dies, as Paul's...
I'm at 3% right now. Now I don't have a computer because I can't charge my computer.
Yeah, so this is the last time we'll hear from Paul. But there was a very interesting guest on Logan Paul's podcast.
That was good.
What was his name? Peter Schiff. Schiff. He's a finance guy, and it was just, you know, even if you're not interested in, like, finance, I mean, not to say that, I mean, everyone's got to be interested in finance because it has to. That's how you make money and run your life. But this guy had a very interesting take on Bitcoin and technologically advanced currencies and how basically they're bullshit and how everybody should buy gold. But it was just interesting, and it was interesting because it was like the uncle that you don't have that knows a lot about money talking to you and your like siblings, because he's basically like yelling at Logan Paul and Mike Malak the whole time, like. No, like NFTs are stupid, and at one point, like, they might not be worth anything, which he's on the extreme side of it, and I'm invested in cryptocurrency, and I know Paul is too, and I don't know, Derek.
He's
definitely
right.
Yeah,
like,
but it
is all bullshit.
Everyone should watch
but
it, you know?
He's extremely conservative, not like conservative politically, but conservative with his money.
Yeah.
Like, I even heard him saying something about, like, regular, what is it? Whatchamacallit? The S&P 500 stocks being like super risky. I'm like, the S&P 500 has gone up like 12% every year for like 90 years. It's like, how is that super risky? Like, he's super conservative because I think he has a lot of money, and his whole thing was like, my clients have a lot of money and I'm trying to get them to keep all their money, like not like risk it on shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well,
I mean, there's a balance in the middle somewhere.
It changes. Yeah.
But it's just an interesting perspective because right now everyone is telling you to buy all this digital shit. And this guy, I mean, and obviously a lot of economists are telling you not to, but to listen to this guy synthesize it down to a level that I like someone of my generation and your generation, Paul, like, you know, like it's a conversation that you would have with this guy, you know? So anyway, I thought it was very interesting, and he had an interesting take on cryptocurrencies and NFTs and all that other bullshit. I've been trying to buy a fucking NFT for like 2 weeks. I can't figure out how
Waste of time. I haven't even tried. Because I know the only people who are going to make money are like Logan Paul or like famous people. But this thing's about to die, so.
All right, well, bye, Paul. I think that kind of does it for this week. Short episode, but Paul's never going
to
have a laptop again. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving.
I have to get the new one like you got.
That's right. I want to go ahead and take a second to send our condolences to the DiResta family. Our friend John DiResta lost his wife totally unforeseen, and it's very horrible. I just spent some time with John. We all did at the Maker Camp, and he was talking about his family and his wife, and it's really heartbreaking to see him have to go through that. So if you want to, you know, give a couple bucks to John and his family to help with the funeral costs and all that stuff, I'm going to put the link to the GoFundMe in the description of this podcast. John, we love you, and we feel terrible, and hope that you guys are doing well.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.